Good morning. And Jai Masih Ki means hail to the name of the Messiah. So that's how we greet in India, Jai Masih Ki. If you can repeat after me, Jai Masih Ki. Yeah, thank you. It's an honor and privilege to stand here in front of you all and to speak from God's Word. I want to thank God for this, and I also want to thank Pastor Craig. He's a very good friend and a prayer partner, and all of you as a church family, you've been a big supporter to us, not just in finances, but in prayers. Thank you so much for that. And I'm so blessed that, you know, I've been given about 35 to 40 minutes to preach. It's been 4 years for us to be here as a family, and when I came here, it was very, very hard for me because whenever we used to go to for the introductions in churches, they would give us 5 minutes to 7 minutes. And coming from the Indian ministry, if you invite any Indian pastor, he cannot speak less than 1 hour, 1.5 hour. and for me, the longest preaching that was ever recorded in our church was 2 hours and 35 minutes. And so for me, it was so hard, but I have learned some techniques that I can be in time. So what I've done is I always write now the things that I have to preach. And so still, you know, I was handing over my sermon notes to the media team, and it was 16 pages. So I said, you know, I will try to do justice to the time that is given to me, but still, thank you for being patient. May God give you... May God give you the gift to be patient and to listen what the Lord had for us. And that's the gift of the Holy Spirit, right? So we've been 4 years here, and God is faithful. Last week I sent out the newsletter that we have, and you would know a little bit about what's going on. We are so thankful to God, for He is able, He is good, He is faithful, and He's always with us. His presence never leaves us. And so, despite of all the ups and downs and struggles that we have gone through being here, and as Mr. Art was mentioning, that we are in a strange culture, we also come from a very strange culture. So every culture in this world will be strange to us, because now we belong to no culture, we belong to the kingdom culture. So all the cultures in this world has some flaws, you know, some ups and downs. But because the Lord is faithful, He's helped us to stay strong here, stay strong in faith, and to serve Him in faithfulness and obedience. And that is also a gift from God. So we've been leading a small fellowship that meets every Saturday, every week, and that is growing slowly. I would want it to be fast. You know, what the things that we have done in India, we felt that it was a little faster in India. People would respond very quickly, and the reason was that, you know, the people who were responsive towards the gospel were either poor people or middle-class people. And so they have less to lose, and sometimes even nothing to lose. So, and the gospel they would hear, and they would say, oh, we now can feel what the Lord has in store for us, and then they would respond. But here when we come, you know, people live on some kind of platform which is almost equal for everyone. You know, a homeless person and a millionaire all goes to the Starbucks. But in India, it's not like that. You know, if a middle-class person has to go to a Starbucks, he has to think many times and take his family on a treat to go and be in fancy restaurants. But here, it's all normal, right? So that's one of the things that we can understand, that reaching out to the Punjabi community, because they're a hardworking community and they earn a lot. So for them, it is like we are already blessed by God. There's a term in Punjabi, they say, chardi kala. It means that we are blessed by God. So if you ask a Punjabi person, how are you doing? They would not say we are doing good. Like when you converse in Punjabi, they would say we are in Chardikala. It means we are blessed by God. So they define blessing with the materialistic things. And here, you know, it's so vivid to see that materialism actually has blinded their eyes, and they are not able to see beyond that. So that is why it feels harder, and it's not impossible, but it is a harder mission field here to reach out to this affluent community. So we are doing this weekly fellowship, and the Lord is working in that. Then we also host the workshops called Understanding and Loving Your Sick Neighbors that we have done, and Ross Road Church family has also been a part of it. We have done in Vancouver, Surrey, Delta, Burnaby, even in Abbotsford, and we have led some Sikh temple tours, and that has been a blessing. And Other than that, we have hosted a gospel and revival event in the month of July, and that was also a big blessing that was hosted at the Clearbrook MB Church. We were expecting more people, as we always want more and more people, but still we had about 85 to 90 people who came on both the evenings, and we had the opportunity to share the gospel clearly and to worship in Punjabi and Hindi, and then to even pray for some people who showed their interest that we want to receive prayers. So that was neat, and now we are in the process of following up with the people. Those are some of the updates, and because I have a limited amount of time, I want to just, let's get into God's Word. So as you have the bulletin in your hands, you know that our topic for this morning is living as kingdom people. Since your church has already covered Christ-centered living, redeeming time, community, welcoming church, prayer, grace, gratitude, forgiveness, sacrifice, and the Sermon on the Mount, I would like to take the next step now. Not simply what should Christians do, but what kind of people are we becoming because we belong to God's kingdom? And living as kingdom people. I love to talk on God's kingdom because many years ago, even being in ministry, when I discovered that, you know, we should think everything, whenever we read the Bible, we should think it as kingdom citizens. We should read the word as we are reading the kingdom constitution. Because talking about kingdom, it's the form of the government. We in India, and also, you know, so many countries in the world, we have experienced democracy. We know the governance style of democracy where leaders and the top leaders, they are voted in and they are voted out. But in the kingdom government, kings are not voted in or voted out. King is a king by birth. And he rules over everything. King is the Lord of everything. So when we read God's word with the kingdom mindset, we understand that now we belong to God's kingdom and he's the Lord of everything. In fact, whenever we read anything, we will understand with the kingdom perspective that everything changes when we read that. So the kingdom of God is among us. Let's read the main text. It's Luke chapter 17, verses 20 and 21. Once Jesus was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God was coming, and he answered, "The kingdom of God is not coming with things that can be observed. Nor will they say, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There it is.' For in fact, the kingdom of God is among you." What are we building our lives around? Over the past months, as you have learned about many important aspects of following Jesus, about being Christ-centered, about redeeming our time, and about community, as we already mentioned, and as Brother Bobby was mentioning about welcoming church, the values that we have, and prayer, important foundation of our spiritual life, grace and gratitude, love, forgiveness, and sacrifice. And I believe last week, Pastor Craig shared about offense, such an important subject for us to understand and learn. And as we've spent much of a year listening to Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, today I want to step back and ask a bigger question. Keeping all these things that we have learned so far in this year, keeping those things in mind, let's ask a bigger question. What is God actually building all these things towards? Why should we be Christ-centered? Why should Christ be at the center of our life? Why should we use our time differently than all the others in this world? Why should we forgive? Why should we be welcoming the people? Why should we pray when we already believe in Jesus and he's already a king, our father, our Lord? He knows everything. He's the sovereign Lord. Why should we pray? Why should we sacrifice? Why should we love deeply? Not just love, but love deeply as God loved us, in spite of all the weaknesses that we have and still we carry sometimes. Because we are not merely trying to become better people. We have been invited into something much bigger. We've been invited into the kingdom of God. And when I talk about God's kingdom, it's very, very important for us to understand, because Christianity is not simply about getting people into heaven. Church is the means to take us to our destination. But church is not our destination. It is like a train that is taking us to the destination. Our destination is the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. And we are not just working hard to just get people into heaven. Because if God wanted people to just be in heaven, He should have created us in heaven already, not on earth. Why did He want all of us to just suffer on earth, and then after all the suffering, then the final prize for you is to come to heaven? Bible says in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Where did God live before creating that? In other words, to understand this, we can say that God is not in heaven, but heaven is in God. And that is why when we talk about the kingdom of heaven, it is about bringing God's rule, His presence, His values, and His purposes into our lives today here. Jesus taught His disciples to pray. The only thing that the disciples asked Jesus to teach them was about prayer. They never asked, teach us to cast out demons, teach us to heal people. The only thing the disciples, they just talked to each other and they said, oh, He just prays and there's something different when He prays. So they went to Jesus and they said, please, Lord, teach us to pray. And when Jesus taught them to pray, one of the things He said that you pray that let your kingdom come. We should not be just overloaded with this thought, oh, when are we going to finish this world? We are tired of this world. We don't want to live anymore in this world. We want to just go to heaven. No, that's not our final destination. We sang one of the worship songs, You Brought Heaven on Earth. Jesus brought heaven on earth, His kingdom on earth. Jesus came preaching, the time has come, the kingdom of God has come near, repent and believe the good news. The first message that John the Baptist, the one who was preparing the way for the Lord, his message was the kingdom of heaven. Jesus came and the first words that came out of His mouth was, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. So it's very important to understand that it started from the kingdom. The gospel is not simply Jesus can improve your life. He'll make your life better. The gospel is that the King has come and He brings a kingdom. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. And when the King comes, everything changes. In fact, everything should change. A little overview of what the kingdom is. Jesus is not primarily, He did not come to establish a religion. He came to restore the kingdom of God and reconnect humanity to the King. That was His primary purpose. The kingdom is government. It's not merely a place. Because I was just pondering on God's word in the past, a few days ago, and I was just thinking about when Jesus was ascending into heaven. That's how we understand. So they were on this mount, and Jesus was ascended into heaven. So in other words, when we see this picture or we imagine this, we feel that the heaven is somewhere above. So human beings, they try to make all these space things and all. You know, they think that as we go higher and higher and somewhere, it will be a place that's heaven. That's not. Because it's a different dimension, it's a different realm. You cannot just keep going, and sometimes you'll reach in heaven. Oh, now here is heaven. And that is why when people see this, they feel, oh, if you just go higher and higher and higher, at some point, you will reach heaven. We are not going to be in heaven like that. It is not going to take us after we die millions and millions of years to go and cross the galaxies and then reach into heaven. And in a blink of an eye, we'll be in heaven. Because it's a different dimension. And so when we talk about God's kingdom, in this dimension, legally, we belong here now because we are in flesh and blood. And we have a responsibility, we have a task. The kingdom expansion on earth. Heaven is His throne and this earth is His footstool. In other words, He's made us kind of the governors here. He's the King, and in fact, He's the King of kings. We are the kings on this earth. He said, have dominion on earth. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. The kingdom has a king, that is God. It has kingdom, the territory under His authority. citizens, those who belong to Christ the King, laws and constitution that is God's word that is given to us so that we know what to do and what not to do. The culture, the kingdom culture is the character and values of the King. We know it. When you see me that I am an Indian. And though sometimes I would do things which might be odd in this culture. I don't want to offend people, but still, unknowingly, I can offend people. Because I come from a different culture. I'm trying to learn this culture. I'm trying to learn that every time and any time you just say sorry, thank you, and please. No matter what. The resources of the kingdom is everything is provided by the King. And the purpose of the kingdom is to extend God's or the King's will and his influence. In India, we have a state called Goa. I don't know if you've heard. It's a Portuguese state. When you go to, like Indians, many, many Indians, they would just travel to Goa for their vacations. As soon as you enter that state, everything changes. It feels like this is no more India, it's Europe. The colors of the buildings are different. It's very colorful. More than 40 beaches you have in that little place. Beautiful waters. Their food is different. Their clothing is different. It feels so westernized. And many, many Indians who are not able to travel overseas, they would just go there and they would just experience that Portuguese culture there. But Goa did not go to Portugal. Portuguese people came to Goa. And when they came and settled there, they brought Portuguese culture there. So now that place can be experienced as Portuguese. In the same way, we are kingdom people now. No more Canadians, no more Africans, no more Australians, no more British, no more Indians, no more Bangladeshis. We are kingdom citizens. And we are called to bring the kingdom culture here on earth. The values and the character of our King should influence the world through our lives. People don't see Jesus, they see us. Jesus came preaching the kingdom. The kingdom was the central message of Jesus. The gospel isn't simply or merely Jesus died so that you can go to heaven. It's also that Jesus came to restore you to God's original purpose and bring you under God's government. In Christ, we don't just receive forgiveness. We return to King's purpose. The kingdom of God is bigger than just the Sunday service. It's bigger than that. Let's begin the message. The first slide, please, okay? So the kingdom changes who we belong to. It changes who we belong to. Naturally, we are born in this world in flesh and blood, and we are born as a sinner. We are not sinner because we keep on sinning and then we are termed as sinners. No, we sin because we are born sinners. Colossians chapter 1 verse 13. Paul says that God has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his Son that he loves. Notice the language here. We were rescued from one kingdom and brought into another kingdom. We may or might not realize, but we were born in a kingdom. Kingdom of darkness. Kingdom of evil. Kingdom of lies. And darkness, when we say darkness, darkness actually is ignorance. It's actually chaos. We need light here because in the light we can see things. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Light actually means knowledge. Bible says in the beginning, God created heavens and the earth. The earth was formless. There was darkness all over. And God spoke and there was light. In other words, to understand this, everything was chaotic. Everything was in disorder. But when God spoke, let there be light, everything has to come in place. Everything or the darkness has to flee and there has to be light. In the same way, when Jesus says, I am the light, it means that now he's brought us into the knowledge. We lived in darkness, we couldn't see. All kinds of help became light to us. We thought that this is the right way. And that is why all the religions of the world, they think whatever they know, whatever they believe is true. Unless they encounter Jesus, everything that people do and believe, it's darkness. Because if Jesus is the light, there's no other light. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the light. And the life, right? He's the only one who gives us the understanding that we can know. If we turn off the lights here, we might not be able to even see our faces. We would not know what's going on. We are rescued from one kingdom. That means salvation is more than just the forgiveness of sins. There's something deeper. Of course, we have received the forgiveness of sins, but salvation is also the change of allegiance. Now we don't belong to the enemy. He cannot forcefully rule us now, because now we have left that kingdom and we have stepped into the kingdom of light and life and God. Before Christ, I lived according to my desires, my ambitions, my fears, my culture, my comfort, my opinions. But when Jesus became Lord of my life, something changed. I now ask, what does my King want? That is why being Christ-centered matters. Bible teaches us to have the mind of Christ in us, have His mind in us. We don't simply desire Jesus, we belong to Jesus. Jesus is not showing us the way, He is the way. Jesus is not teaching us to do this or do that and then we will have life. No, He is the life. He's not teaching us about the truth, He is the truth. The question is not merely, do I believe in Jesus? But the deeper question is Jesus my King? The difference between having Jesus in our life and having Jesus over our life. Many people just want Jesus as Savior. Just save me, Lord. Just save me. That's good. He's our Savior. But to apply it in our life, the kingdom requires Jesus as King. Because King is the Lord of everything. Your life, your money, your possessions, this world, this stars, moons, oceans, waters, mountains, everything. Birds, animals, everything. He's the Lord of everything. Ask yourself, who actually is ruling my life? These are the questions that we can ponder in our hearts. Answer in your hearts to the Lord. Who is actually ruling my life? Is it my emotions? And we might not be wrong. We might think whatever we are doing, as genuine, sincere Christians, we are trying to do everything right. But still, are my emotions ruling me? Is my money ruling me? Is my career ruling me? Is my family ruling me? Is my reputation ruling me? Is my culture ruling me? We cannot say, oh, in here we do like this now. Jesus did so many things that were not of the culture that people would expect. Many plans, like my plans, or is it Jesus who's ruling? Kingdom begins when we surrender the throne of our lives, when we surrender our throne to Jesus. And we say, Lord, you rule my life. Every thought that comes to my mind, it should have Jesus. Every word that comes out of my mouth should have Jesus. Every relationship that I build should have Jesus. Second slide, please. The kingdom changes how we live. Romans chapter 14, verse 17. Paul gives a beautiful description here. He says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. It's not about eating and drinking only. Notice that the kingdom produces something visible. Righteousness, peace, and joy. The kingdom is something, it's not something that we talk about, just talk about. It becomes something people experience through us. As I mentioned, people are not able to see Jesus. They cannot see Jesus. Jesus rules in us now by His Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives, dwells inside of us. And so if people have to see who Jesus is, they see us. When we say Jesus loves, they want to see that love in us. When we say Jesus heals, they want to see the healing in us. We say the joy of the Lord is our strength. They want to see that joy in our lives. Amen? If the king is ruling our heart, his character should begin appearing in our life. That connects with everything that you have already learned in this year, with all the messages. If Christ is at the center, I don't live only for myself. If my time belongs to God, I don't waste my life only pursuing the temporary things. If I understand community, I don't live isolated from God's people. I cannot and I should not. If I understand grace, I become gracious towards others. If I understand forgiveness, I don't allow bitterness to rule me. If I understand sacrifice, I become willing to give rather than to ask, what can I get? If I understand the kingdom, I begin asking, how can God's will become visible through my life? If we truly understand the kingdom of heaven, we don't belong here. This is not our place, of course. But if Lord has sent us here, why are we in Abbotsford? Why are we in this place? Why are we in the neighborhoods where you are? God has given everything to us. We are called to be wise stewards of what we have already been handed. We are not the rulers, the Lord is, but he's given us the authority to use things well, use relationships well, use the resources well. The kingdom changes our priorities. A kingdom person lives differently. A kingdom person says, I don't have to win every argument because my identity does not depend on being right. I just don't have to prove that I am right and you are wrong. And I think that's one of the things that actually make us bitter. We don't want to be bitter, but we become bitter because we are trying to prove that we are right, even though we are right. Bible says, even if you have valid reasons to accuse others, still in love, don't do that. Just love others. That's how Jesus did. Jesus has all the possible reasons to accuse us. He knows all our weaknesses and still he chooses to forgive us and extend his grace to us so that we can be in his kingdom. I can forgive because I have received forgiveness. I can welcome a stranger because I remember that God welcomed me. I can give because he's given everything to me and ultimately everything belongs to God. I can serve when nobody notices because my reward comes from the King. I can love people who cannot benefit me because kingdom love is not based on transactions. This is what makes kingdom visible through our lives. Third point is the kingdom changes how we see other people. Acts chapter 1 verse 3, it says, after his resurrection, Jesus spent time with his disciples. And in fact, when he rose from the dead, even after that, the only message that he would talk with his people was about the kingdom. He says, then speaking about the kingdom of God, in Acts chapter 1 verse 3, he would always talk about God's kingdom. Why? Because kingdom people simply don't receive the kingdom. They represent the king. This is where community, welcome, forgiveness, and love becomes extremely important. The church is not the club for those who already have everything in place. It's not a place of perfect people. Church is supposed to be the kingdom community where people encounter the character of the King through us. Think about people Jesus welcomed: tax collectors, sinners, outcasts, poor, the broken people. Religious society didn't always know what to do with this, because he would welcome all these kind of people. Jesus didn't compromise truth, but he cared and he created space for the people to encounter grace and transformation. Romans chapter 15 verse 7. Accept one another, then just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. This means our church should be more than a place where Christians gather. It should be a window into the kingdom of God. When someone walks through these doors, they should experience something different. They should experience grace instead of condemnation. They should experience welcome instead of rejection. Forgiveness instead of bitterness. Truth instead of confusion. Love instead of competition. Hope instead of despair. Imagine if a person, he just comes, who's never been to a church before, he comes into our congregation. Could they say, I don't understand everything that these Christian people believe, but I can tell that these people belong to Jesus. That's the kingdom Christianity. Fourth slide, please. The kingdom gives us a mission. Mark chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. Jesus began his public ministry proclaiming the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God has come near, so repent and believe the good news. And repentance is a process. It's not just a one-time thing. Oh, Lord, we repent from our sins. We confess and we repent, and now we are not going to do it anymore. We believe you and we accept you as the Lord and Savior. Amen. It's not just one-time prayer. Repentance is a process. And I always want to say it in this way, that when Adam and Eve, they disobeyed God. The image, we were created in a perfect image. That's how I always do it. And my wife says, you always use this example. He created us in his image. And from there, we just see one hand. Right? But when we disobeyed, we were different. God's will and human will. But he came, he wants us to be aligned back. And the repentance is a process of realigning ourselves back into the nature of Christ Jesus. It can take time. Sometimes people are very quick in becoming and following Jesus. Sometimes it takes many, many weeks, months, or even years to actually come to that point. And so let's be in the posture of repentance always and humility. The kingdom is not about only about where we go. It's about what we are sent to do. Jesus didn't tell his disciples, stay together and enjoy the kingdom. He sent them. Acts 1, chapter 8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. First in Jerusalem, then in Judea and Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth. The kingdom creates missional people. We are blessed so that we can become a blessing. We receive the gospel so that we can share the gospel. We experience God's love so that we can demonstrate God's love through our lives. We are welcomed into God's family so that we can welcome others. Your workplace is your kingdom assignment. Some of the add-ons that I want to share with you. Your workplace isn't merely where you earn money. It's a place where kingdom can become visible through you. Your neighborhood isn't simply where you live. It's a place where kingdom can become visible. You know, I made one statement to someone, and I want to share it with you. Sorry, preaching entirely in English is a hard thing. Because I've preached all my life with Hindi and Punjabi. So the words sometimes burn in my mouth, so I need water. I said, you know, stop praying for your neighbors if you don't know the color of their living room wall. And sorry, sometimes it might sound a harsh statement. But I mean, we want our neighbors to be saved. We want the communities around to know Jesus. But that's not possible only by waving hands at them and saying hi, hello, once in a while. Invite them into your homes. Go into their homes. It can look forceful, but it's not. Jesus would go. He said, go and make disciples. It's something to do with stepping out of our comfort zones. Your family isn't merely a responsibility. It's a place where kingdom can become visible. Your friendships aren't merely social relationships. These are opportunities to represent the King. And the church isn't simply a Sunday gathering. It's church is the people sent into the world. Church is the only people, community, that knows the right answer. Nobody else. If we have to talk about God, who else can tell about God without the people that belong to the kingdom? Nobody else can tell, give the right information about God. We've been blessed. Bible says we've been blessed with the mystery of the kingdom of heaven. Nobody else would know that. People just assume and imagine about God. He's so big, he's so vast now. But we know who God is. He took the form of a man. He dwelt among us, and he gave us the message of the kingdom of heaven so that we, after we become the citizens of the kingdom of heaven, it's our job to explore things now, to understand. Like when we came here, the traffic rules suddenly changed for me. We drive on the left side of the road and we have our steering wheel on the right side of the vehicle. Here it's different. That changed. Then we necessarily, when we have the traffic lights, they are more like suggestions to us. The lanes, the dotted, the solid, the yellow, all these lanes that we have, I never knew that these are like when you have a line, they are two separate lanes. I thought we drive in the center of that, on the dotted. And it's not that I wanted to be intentionally an outlaw in our country, but we were never taught about it. We thought, you know, that these lines are like in somehow fluorescent, you say? It like in the night, it gives you little direction, right? So you drive on top of it so that you don't miss. So that's how my brain was. But coming here, everything changed. So now it is my responsibility when I come into this new culture. It's my responsibility to find out the laws here. It's my responsibility to know the laws here. If I do something wrong, I cannot say, oh, I didn't know that. I should know it. The policeman, he's not going to say, okay, oh, you came from India, it's okay. I should know it. So when we become kingdom citizens, we should know our Bible. We should know about our king. We should know about how the kingdom operates. We just don't talk about the subjects of the Bible. We live those. We don't just preach about it. It's to live. Because we are representing, he says, you are the ministers of the reconciliation, the ambassadors of the ministry of reconciliation. We are ambassadors, and in the embassy, the ambassador represents the whole country. We represent the kingdom on earth. What does kingdom life look like? Let me make it very practical. The kingdom person asks four questions. Who is my king? And what do we answer? Jesus. I surrender my life to him. Second question, what does my king value? What does my king value? Righteousness, love, joy, truth, peace, holiness, justice, grace. He values that. And if he values that, we should value that. No exceptions. Because we belong to him. Third question. Who has my king sent me to? What can we answer? And these are not tough. We are not missionaries only overseas. We are missionaries across the street. All of us. Whoever has the seal of the blood of Jesus, and whoever is sealed with the power of the Holy Spirit, we are all missionaries. Like, you know, when I'm being introduced that he is a multiply missionary. He's a Ross Road missionary. It means now, whenever this thing is said, you, other than just thinking about the person, you think about Ross Road Church and you think about multiply. And you want to match that person with the organization. That is he actually following the values of that? So when we say we are Christians, so it automatically means Christians are kingdom citizens, and we should keep that always in mind. We are representing the kingdom. The kingdom values should be demonstrated through our life. We are sent by the king to the people around us, to my family. I'm sent to my family. I'm sent to my neighbors. I'm sent to my colleagues. I'm sent to my community. I'm sent to the lonely. I'm sent to the forgotten people. I'm sent to the people who are spiritually in search of the truth. Fourth question, what can I do today to make the king's goodness visible? What can we answer? What can we do today to make king's goodness visible? A simple general answer would be a kingdom lifestyle. I want to have the kingdom lifestyle. Amen. The kingdom is already here. But not yet complete. How much time do I have? I'm sorry, I don't see.
40 minutes.
Thank you. I think the Holy Spirit is actually blessing you with the gift of patience. How much time?
2.5 hours.
Oh, 2.5 hours. Thank you, Pastor Greg. Lovely. Okay, I'll just have a few more words. There's an important tension in the scripture, and that's a good tension. It's like the guitar. The strings have a tension, and those tensions are good ones, because if there's no tension, you cannot have the right music. And so there's a tension, an important tension in the scripture. The kingdom has already come when Jesus came. Jesus is the king. His spirit lives in his people. The church is his body. People are being transformed, but the kingdom has not yet reached its final completion. One day Christ will return. The king is going to come back. One day every injustice will be dealt with. One day death will be defeated completely. One day there'll be no more tears. One day every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. Everyone. So between these lines, the king have come and the king is coming. There is this tension. But that gives us as Christians both hope, that we are hoping that he is going to come, but also a responsibility. Remember these words. Between this tension that Jesus has come and the king is coming again, between that time, we have a hope and we have a responsibility. We don't despair because Jesus is king, and we don't become passive because he is coming. We live faithfully until he comes. So live for the kingdom. In the end, I just want to say that perhaps the greatest danger for Christians is that we can become very good at church Christianity without actually living kingdom Christianity. We should not be just following churchianity, but kingdom Christianity. We can attend church, we can sing songs, we can listen to sermons, we can pray, we can give, we can serve, and still live primarily for ourselves. Jesus calls us to something deeper. He calls us to himself. He calls us to his kingdom. And when we enter his kingdom, our priorities change. They should change. Our relationships change. The way we look at relationships changes. Our use of time changes. Our attitude towards money changes. Our attitude towards people changes. Our attitude towards suffering changes. Our attitude towards everything changes. So on your bulletin, you'll have three questions. And please do answer them to take home. Who is sitting on the throne of my life? What part of my life is yet to be surrendered to the king? These are important ones. And where is God asking me to represent his kingdom this week? Don't leave today thinking that that was a good sermon about the kingdom. Don't just think that. Leave asking, how can I become a person through whom the kingdom of God becomes visible? In my family, in my neighborhood, in my community. Because the kingdom of God is not merely something we are waiting to enter someday. We're not just waiting that when we'll die, we'll enter into that kingdom. No, his kingdom is here. He says, it's already here. It's not that you say, it's there. It's among you already. The king has already come. And now he says, follow me. So let's be the people who live under the king's rule, love with the king's heart, serve with the king's hands, speak the king's message, and carry the king's presence into the world, because we are his hands and feet. And when we say we are his hands and feet, it doesn't mean that, how to explain that? It's like we have the potential of being his hands and feet. And so anything and everything that we do represents the king. And so we have to be very, very careful, full of God's love and forgiveness and grace, to do everything out of the love. Anything and everything that is birthed without God's love in it will at some point fail, even though however good it is. But when it comes from, when it is birthed from God's love, it will be beautiful. And we might not be able to see the result of the goodness that we live for Christ, but one day we'll have our reward, even if we don't realize that. May the Lord bless you. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much. Thank you that you are here. Thank you that you have taught us to pray that let your kingdom come here. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The angels listen to you, Lord, always in heaven. And they worship you singing holy, holy, holy. The angels who are already in heaven, Lord, three times they say, holy, holy, holy. It means for them, they know that this is like singing holy once is not enough because of the holiness that God has, how holy he is. And we on earth, Lord, we are called to live holy lives, because without holiness, no one can see God. Lord, I pray for the message that you have for us this morning. We open our hearts, Lord, and we want that the seed of your word be sown in our hearts in such a way that we want to take care of this word, of this seed, as a good soil. And if there's any kind of pride, any kind of bitterness in our hearts, to whatever extent, Lord, give us the strength and courage to stay humble or become humble. Forgive us, Lord. We confess our sins, Lord. Anything that displeases you in our lives, Lord, we ask forgiveness. Even if we don't know what the problem is in our life, Lord, please reveal it to us, Holy Spirit. And give us the strength and courage and the power of the Holy Spirit to stand for your sake, Lord. To stand in your name, Lord. To live as kingdom citizens. We want to live as living Bibles in our families, in our communities, in our workplaces, Lord. Thank you for your word, Lord. We surrender our lives to you once again. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise, Lord, because you alone deserve it, Lord. Thank you for being our dad, and thank you for giving us the opportunity and privilege to be your kids. In Jesus' name, amen.